We've come this evening and are studying the Shorter Catechism to question 85. What doth God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. What doth God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? To escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. Now this catechism serves as an introduction to the following questions, which will pick up the three main components of the answer. The three main components: to escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, 1, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, 2, repentance unto life, and 3, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. But it's not simply introductory. It brings together these three components, which helps us to see that they belong together, and they are inseparable. It is not possible to have faith without repentance. It's not possible to have repentance without faith. It's not possible to have faith and repentance and not to make diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. They belong together. They are inseparable. They are components. And they are responsibilities and obligations. It's interesting. The Shorter Catechism, which we are studying, says to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ. Then it puts repentance unto life. Whereas the Larger Catechism puts repentance first and then faith second. There's no conflict between these two documents. The point is simply that sequence isn't significant. You can say faith, repentance, and a diligent means, or you can say repentance, faith, and a diligent means. That doesn't matter. The point is that we are required to have faith and repentance and to make diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. In your experience, faith may seem more clear, or repentance may seem more to the fore, but they cannot exist apart or independent of the other. To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, to escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin. This brings before us this wonderful truth that it is possible to escape the horror of the wrath and curse of God, which is due unto us for sin. There's no ambiguity about the fact that God's wrath and curse is due, because we have studied that already in the previous questions. Of course, our faith doesn't stand upon the Catechism, but upon the Word of God. But the Catechism helpfully brings together what is revealed in the Word of God, and it puts it into a systematic way so that we can study it. And as we follow through the systematic scheme of the Catechism, we are shown that all are guilty before God, and that all sin is heinous before God, hateful in His holy sight. Some more heinous than others, but all hateful in the sight of God. And consequently, all sin calls for God's wrath and curse to rest upon the sinner. That is made very clear in the testimony of Scripture. It's emphasized through Scripture, and is emphasized through the Catechism. Why? Well, it's to motivate you towards salvation. The wonderful good news that there is a way to escape the wrath and curse of God becomes wonderful good news when we realize that we have a need to escape the wrath and curse of God. If a surgeon was to sit you down and to describe this tremendously high risk and complicated procedure that they wanted to perform upon you, you would really be wanting to say, why? You certainly wouldn't put yourself under the knife unless you were convinced that there was some need and some benefit and a probability of risk, that there would be an advantage to have it done. And so, generally speaking, the surgeon sits down and presents you with the results of the tests that are being conducted. And they say, this is the disease that you have, and this is what is happening now, and this is what will happen in the future unless we do something about it. Otherwise you would reject the treatment. And so the Catechism, in faithfulness to the Scriptures, emphasizes the nature of the disease, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That in our sin we are under the condemnation of a holy God. That His wrath and curse is due to us, both in this life and that which is to come. It is inescapable. There are some who prefer to avoid the bad news because they're convinced of the hopelessness of their situation. So there are some who won't go to the doctor when they see something that's concerning. They prefer no diagnosis because they think there's no point. They don't want the stress of thinking it through. But the Scripture makes clear to you what you already know. You know, because your conscience testifies to you, that you stand guilty before a holy God, and that the issue is not a superficial one. The problem isn't what you do. The problem is what you are. What you do is sinful. I'm not saying that's unimportant, but what I'm saying is the heart of the matter is that you are by nature a sinner, and that's why you're sinful. And that's what needs to be dealt with. And so this is a word which is for sinners, who to the very heart of their being are corrupt before God, and yet to escape His wrath and curse, due unto us for sin, there is a way of escape, which is evidence of His love, of His mercy. The love of God, who has established a way whereby you can escape from the justice of God through the substitution of the Son of God. The Father sent the Son so you might be delivered from the wrath and the curse of God. And not only is there a way, but this is the only way. The only way to escape the wrath and curse of God, to just to try again, to do better next time. It's a delusion. You don't have that power within you to transform yourself. But nor does it address all your yesterdays. And it's a rejection of Christ. To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with a diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. Well, there's a way of escape, but you're responsible for seeking this way of escape. There is redemption, there is salvation to be had, but not everyone will have it, because it's contingent upon God's mercy in providing it, which he has done, and your response to that. Now, the Catechism's already brought to us God's mercy in providing redemption. Think of question 20, when it speaks about the divine initiative. God, having out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, to enter into a covenant of grace, to deliver them out of an estate of sin and misery, and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. The Catechism then speaks about the wonder of the Incarnation, that God became man. It speaks about the offices that the Lord Jesus Christ fills as our prophet and as our priest and as our king. It speaks of his humiliation, which consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried, and continuing under the power of death for a time. It also speaks about the effectual application of redemption by God. So in question 30, or answer 30, we're taught the Spirit applieth to us the redemption purchased by Christ, by working faith in us, and thereby uniting us to Christ in our affection calling. God has shown his mercy. Christ is given as a settled and established fact. But you, friend, you as an individual, are responsible for exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for turning from your sin, from repenting. You're dependent upon God, and yet you have a responsibility for doing so. You are responsible for seeking this way of escape. To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means, whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. Now the scripture makes clear that the Lord can and does deal differently with those who do not have the capacity to exercise faith and repentance. And by that we're speaking about those who are incapable because of mental, intellectual inadequacy, or elect infants who die in infancy. And the confession addresses that in a sensitive way. It says, elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved through the Spirit, who worketh when and where and how he pleaseth. So also are all other elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the word. Remember John the Baptist. In the womb of his mother leapt at the presence of the Lord. In the womb of his mother. John, unable to exercise faith as an unborn child. Unable to repent as an unborn child. Unable to make diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption, nevertheless, with spiritual life, rejoices in the presence of the Saviour. That is the exception. And there's comfort for us there. In the death of an infant. Or when there's someone whose mind does not develop to a stage where they're able to exercise faith, to repent, and to draw near to God. But that is the exception. But for the rest of us, God requires this of you. And no one can do it for you. And that's important you understand that, children. You're in a Christian home with Christian parents who can teach you, who can pray for you, who can plead with you, who can make you conform after a fashion for a certain time and bring you to church. And because you belong to a Christian home, you may have the name Christian. But they cannot believe for you. They cannot repent for you. They cannot make you make diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. You must do it yourself. And any failure to seek, to call upon God, is rebellion and rejection against Christ. You might ask your question, is it possible to seek him and not find him? And the answer to that question is given in Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So that if you wholeheartedly seek after the Lord, you shall have him. And if you do not have him, it is because you have not wholeheartedly sought him with all your heart. This catechism is teaching that you are not to be passive. You're not to be different, disinterested. But you're to be diligent. To make full use of every opportunity given to you. And I would say to you tonight, friends, as you have opportunity, come to the place of worship. We're thankful that we live in a day where we're able to use this electronic ministry as a way to worship together. And that is an added benefit, but it is not a good substitute for uniting together in one place in worship when we are able. And so I'm delighted if you're able to join electronically when you cannot get to church together. But if you can be there, you ought to be there. Morning and evening. Because in the providence of God and his mercy, we're able to gather twice, and therefore you ought to be there twice. Because these are two opportunities to hear God's word, to be presented with Christ, to take hold of Christ. It's not dependent upon your ritual attendance at church. Don't misunderstand me. But if you do not come when you could come, then you're not making diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. There is a way of escape. You're responsible for seeking this way of escape. But finally, it's important you understand that what's required of us, faith, repentance, and a diligent use of the means, are not considered by God as an alternative to that righteousness which he originally required. Adam was to live righteously before God, and he sinned, and was no longer able to live righteously before God. The Lord did not introduce a second standard or a lower standard. Righteousness is still required because God does not change, and his requirement does not change. God is holy, and he cannot ignore the reality of sin. There's an enduring debt of service and obedience due unto him. Faith, repentance. That's a means whereby we come to Christ. We take hold of Christ. That we're united to Christ, in whom our righteousness is accomplished. That the righteousness required of Adam is performed on our behalf by Jesus Christ, and we are united to Christ as we come with faith and repentance. Faith and repentance doesn't earn you salvation. When it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, it was not the work of faith, but rather in faith he embraced the promises of God. His faith received what God gave to him, which was the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God require of us that we escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with a diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. And the Lord in his mercy has expressed to you clearly what is required. And the Lord in his mercy has put so many of these outward means at your disposal. We were thinking about Christians in Libya who are not able to go to church. Who don't have the freedom to pray together in public. Who will find it hard to own a copy of God's word. Who are not able to celebrate the sacraments as we do. We do not experience the pastoral care of a regular congregational setup. We do not know what church discipline is. But the Lord has put these means at your disposal that you might make use of them. But what you must never do is dispose of them, put them away, and count them as something little. What does God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? To escape the wrath and curse of God due unto us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with a diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption.